Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation.
This is Katie McCauley, your community manager and host. And as Jessica said, welcome to the conversation today. If you've been a listener from the beginning when we launched the podcast June of last year, or maybe you just started listening a couple of episodes ago, you know and love Whitney Ray as much as I do. And Whitney is one of our ambassadors in the community that's been around since the very beginning of Noonday. And among so many things that she's done for Noonday, one of those things is that she's built an incredible foundation for the You Matter podcast through managing the vision and the content each episode, and particularly through hosting. She's really brought this vision to life and brought a voice to so many pieces of Noonday, the home office, the ambassador community, and the artisans we partner with. So I just wanted to take a minute to honor Whitney and her incredible work through You Matter, because she's built something so meaningful. It really is such a privilege for me to carry on that torch that Whitney lit. So Whitney, thank you so much for all that you've done so far through You Matter, and we can't wait to have you back on. Some ways that you'll see You Matter growing, you'll be hearing even more from Jessica, which I know we are all excited about, but no one is more excited than her. I can promise you that. We'll be seeking out some exciting thought leaders to interview here on You Matter, in addition to Home Office. And those guests could range from fair trade, fashion, other industry people, and even just women that you guys have a total girl crush on. With that said, if there's someone you'd love to hear on You Matter, I definitely want to know. Drop me an email at katie.mccauley, M-C-C-A-U-L-E-Y, at noondaycollection.com, and I'll see what I can do to bring them into the conversation. So what you can expect for the month of March is a topic I feel so passionate about, and I see how much it means to you all as well, because you live it out so well in our community every day. And it's the idea that we are all connected. So this week, we're talking about how we are connected to the artisan and what that really means. So we say that a lot, but what does that truly look like to be connected to the artisan? And I'm really confident you'll be able to take back to your shows a lot of what we're talking about today. So without further ado, on to the show. So I have Jenna here with me today, and you may remember Jenna from a few episodes ago when we sat down with the marketing team, and Jenna is our content curator. That's your official title, right?
Yes.
Which essentially means that Jenna is our resident writer. She's responsible for keeping track of all the artisan stories, writing, being able to tell those stories for the artisan partners that we work with, whether it's a lookbook, the blog. Where else? The website?
Yeah, pretty much anywhere writing is required.
Yeah, you're our writing expert. Well, and the artisan resource guide that you guys probably use too. It's extremely helpful. So today, we are sitting down to give you early access to learning about what some of our top-selling pieces for spring are. Some of the most important things that we carry, you know, as not only home office team members, but as ambassadors and customers and hostesses, are the stories of these artisans that we're so connected with. Mm-hmm. And it helps connect people who are shopping at Noonday to why the pieces of jewelry are so special and important. And so today, Jenna and I are going to talk about some of those best-selling spring pieces and the stories behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jenna, first, thanks for being here.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, the first couple pieces that I'm most excited for, one of them is new, one of them isn't, the modern and the rustic tote. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So, we all love these pieces, and I'm excited to share with you guys a little bit more about the artisan business that creates them. Just as a preface, Katie mentioned that artisan resource guide earlier, and a lot of what I'm going to be sharing today you can find there.
That's good.
This one in particular, you can expect a blog in the coming weeks that will give you something to share with your customers. But in the meantime, I just wanted to give you some snippets about the modern and rustic leather totes. So the business that creates these was started by a family near Delhi who saw that the traditional goat leather craft that had been traditional to their area for so long was really dying out because there just weren't enough jobs for the people who were practicing that craft. So they were moving from small towns into the big city to try to find jobs. So this family wanted to create a way that this traditional craft of goat leather could be preserved and could create dignified work for the people in their community. And our product team recently had the opportunity to actually visit the tannery where our beautiful totes start their journeys. And this tannery employs 10 family members who are able to carry on their traditional craft because of consistent orders from buyers like Noonday and the fair trade pricing that we practice. This tannery is very special because it actually uses vegetable dyeing, as you guys know, instead of the traditional chemical process. And this business actually developed this particular vegetable tanning process, which is really cool. And the reason they did that is that they saw that their workers were just not enjoying safe working conditions. The chemicals could be harmful to people who were working with them, and it was also bad for the environment. So the vegetable tanning process uses a local plant to create that special leather look that we all love, and it takes considerably longer than the chemical process, but it was really important to this business that all of their employees be safe and healthy and that they be treating the environment with respect. So we're happy to be able to support them in that, and with Noonday's consistent orders for the past several seasons, this business has been able to buy additional land to grow its operations and employ even more artisans.
Something that I loved about this story, you know, as you and I have been talking about it, you know, outside the podcast, is I assumed that because it's this natural tanning process, that that was like something that they've been doing for years, but that's actually a process that you just mentioned that they developed because they wanted safer conditions.
Absolutely. They saw a need in their community and they just went out of their way to create a whole new process and to evolve their traditional craft so that they can continue sharing it, but in a way that was more sustainable.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool because it combines something that has legacy, you know, which is the business that they've had, you know, it's not like that originated because, you know, a buyer came in and was like, I want to make these bags. Like, no, they were already creating them. But then this group, because they've been empowered and supported through business and those orders, they're able to innovate a new process that's better and more effective and safer. That's so neat.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So another item or some items I know from India that are really big this season are the Sea Change necklace, the Revelry earrings, and the Embrace necklace. I'd love to hear about those.
Yes. So these pieces are made by an artisan business in India run by Moon, who many of you got to meet at Shine last year. And I just love her. I got to spend time with her last year as her kind of handler. So, we're best friends basically. So Moon's father was one of the founders of the fair trade movement in India. And when he passed away, she took over his business and has continued to grow it. And today they employ thousands of artisans across India. Including a woman named Sunita, who, if you have explored the blog much, you've probably seen her story. We have a great video on her story that I would recommend you all check out on Flourish. But just to give a little bit of background about her, Sunita was married at age 14 to a husband who mistreated and abused her. And just a few years later, she gave birth to her first daughter. And at that point, her husband's only expectation for her was that she would continue having children, and she really wasn't allowed to make any of her own decisions and was expected to just stay in the home. And she has said that during this time, she really just didn't have any confidence in herself. She was quiet, soft-spoken. She wouldn't look you in the eye. But as her daughter began to grow, she realized that she didn't want the same life for her daughter. Something had to change. And that's when she met Moon, who is just a strong, empowered female entrepreneur. And Moon really gave Sunita the confidence that she could do more. So Sunita began working as a jewelry maker at Moon's artisan business, and she just blossomed. Moon has said that before, Sunita wouldn't look you in the eye, wouldn't talk to you, and now she never stops talking. So it's a great thing to see. And as Sunita grew in self-confidence, she said that her husband started to see her worth as well. And today he no longer beats her, because she has helped him see her value. Because she had the opportunity to work and to earn an income and to be empowered through dignified work in that way.
That's amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. and it sounds like that was like a cultural shift for them, probably, mm-hmm. that dynamic. So for me, that just makes me think that, you know, we talk about the dignity of work and the dignity of business and stuff, and it's just really cool to reflect on what kind of impact that can have beyond providing a wage and empowering someone about how they feel about themselves, but making that dynamic shift in a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I love the most about this story is that Sunita didn't stop with empowering herself. She basically acts as a social worker for the women in her neighborhood. So mm-hmm. she goes around to women who are still oppressed and just tells them, you need to come work with us. You need to come, you can do this. You can come get a job with us. And she helps them really just understand that they have rights as women. Yeah. So she has taken the opportunity she's been given and just shared that to so many other women whose lives are now being impacted as a result.
That's amazing. She's creating a community.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I can't help but draw a parallel a little bit with, you know, seeing the relationship between Sunita and Moon, and how Moon really poured into Sunita, mm-hmm. you know, not just, you know, providing her an opportunity and a way out, but just like really developing her. Mm-hmm. I see that with our ambassadors too.
Yes,
and I see, definitely. You know, whether it's a coaching relationship or a friendship just in the community mm-hmm. between ambassadors, you know, whenever I see a newer ambassador come on, you know, I've watched that journey from whenever they first started, and mm-hmm. you know, months later they become this really confident woman, and not just in their styling and knowing the stories and stuff, but that they're capable of running a business mm-hmm. or these gifts that they had inside them are really drawn out because of their experience as an ambassador. And, you know, our ambassadors in the community have that opportunity to pour into other women. And it's cool to see that played out so beautifully with Moon and Sunita too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I love getting to share these stories of women becoming empowered. And I also get to share your stories as ambassadors. And I just love seeing the parallels of how, you know, these artisans empowered one another. You guys are empowering each other. Artisans are empowering you. It just really is this full circle, rather than like a top down, we're mm-hmm. helping these artisans. We're all being empowered because of our partnership together.
Yeah.
And that's just so cool for me to see in action and stories like these.
And we need each other.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. So a couple of other pieces that I know you're going to share about, and I don't think I've heard stories behind these two, the navigation necklace and the afloat earrings. Can you tell me about those?
Yeah. So these are made by our artisan business partner in Vietnam. And how our partnership works there is we partner with a fair trade business run by David, who is a British expat. And he moved to Vietnam and started this fair trade business in order to empower local artisan entrepreneurs to grow, to connect to buyers like Noonday. So within that business, he works with a bunch of traditional craft villages from all over Vietnam. And at Noonday, we currently partner with three villages who specialize in three different crafts, including a water buffalo horn village, a metalworking village, and this season, a marble village. So I want to tell you a little bit about Lawn, who has a necklace named for her this season and is this amazingly talented entrepreneur behind our horn carving partner business. So Lawn grew up learning the craft of horn carving from her parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. She said it was just always part of her life and part of the village life. And as she grew up and began to understand that the poverty that she and her neighbors were living in was a result of a lack of reliable work, she really started to think about what she could do to bring that reliable work to her village. Most of her neighbors were relying on rice farming to make a living, which can be really unreliable. And if you have a bad crop year, it can really set the entire village back economically. So she started thinking about how she could harness that 200, 300-year-old craft tradition of horn carving that was so special to her village already, to create dignified jobs in her village. So she started doing that, and they were making beautiful pieces but struggling to really find a marketplace for them. So that's where Noonday's partner business, run by David, came in, and they have partnered with Lawn to help her grow her group's capacity and connect her to fair trade buyers like Noonday, who place consistent, reliable orders and offer her fair prices. And as a result, her business has really just grown beyond what she ever imagined was possible. And she said that one of the things she loves about it is that she gets to share the craft that's so special to her village with women all over the world.
That's so cool. So I guess the thing that makes me reflect is it reminds me that no matter where you are in the world, people are essentially the same. Mm-hmm. And Lawn saw a need for something, and she was like, how can I solve this? Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that, like, when someone is given the not given, but empowered to find the resources and is empowered that way, they can innovate and they can problem solve. And she has the unique insight in, like, what works best in that community, what that community really needs. And so it's amazing to see that someone who did have those resources, David, can come in and learn from Lawn and say, how can I empower you to solve this problem, you know, and to provide opportunity?
Yeah, those artists and entrepreneurs are so central to what we do at Noonday. They're the reason that we're successful, is these individuals all over the world, many of whom are women, see a need in their community, and something in them just says, I could do something about this. And it's just such a privilege for us to get to connect with them and to give them a marketplace for their products, because they already have the passion and the talent and the skill, and all they need is a way to get their pieces out to women around the world.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that working locally with people in their own community, like, they understand it the most.
Yeah.
They know what's needed. They know what gaps to fill and what opportunities are needed too. So to really partner with them is really impactful.
Yeah. And you can expect to see a blog about Lawn and her business later in the season.
Awesome. I can't wait to read that one. And then I know that the last piece that you're going to be sharing about today is the Latifa necklace.
Yeah, so I just love those turquoise beads. They're so beautiful, and I'm excited to get to share the story behind it. So we do have a blog on Flourish that went up recently about Latifa, and it's really cool because it's an interview between Jahlia and Latifa, which is really an interesting perspective, and you get to hear Jahlia just share about how special Latifa has been to African style, and it's really cool, so I recommend you check that out. But I'm just going to give you a little snippet here today. So Latifa was one of the first artisans hired by Jahlia and Daniel, and she's become a really strong leader in the workshop. She grew up in a rural village in Uganda, and she was able to go to school when she was young, but as she got older, her parents could no longer afford to send her. So at age 16, she left her village and her family and everything she knew and moved to Kampala, the capital city, to try to find a job to support herself and her family. So once she got there, she was basically a child, and she really didn't have very many connections there. So she worked hard trying to find work. She would go to the market and sell different kinds of goods, but she could never really earn enough to support herself, to put a roof over her head. So she ended up living with a man who agreed to sort of unofficially marry her, basically just live with her. And soon she became pregnant with her first son when she was 17 years old. And this man did not treat her well. He would abuse her. And after a few years of this, it had gotten so bad that she decided she had to leave. So she left the home and really didn't know what she was going to do. She didn't have enough income coming in to support her kiddos. She had two children at that point, and people kept telling her, Latifah, you should just abandon your children and just leave them at an orphanage or something, because you can't even take care of yourself. How are you going to take care of your kids? And she just would say every time, no, I'm not going to do that. I love my kids. I don't want them to experience what I experienced when I came here alone and couldn't support myself. I love them, and I want them. I want to be with them through everything, even if it's hard. So it was during this really tough time that she met Jolly and Daniel, and she started out working, doing housework for them, because they just wanted to find a way to help support her and her kids. And eventually she became a jewelry maker in the workshop, and I just loved getting to hear Jolia brag on her and just talk about what an asset she is to the workshop, and how much she's changed in the time that she's been working there. Jolly says that Latifah is one of her best employees and has really blossomed as an entrepreneur in her own right. So once she started seeing that she could make her own money and that she had gifts from working in the workshop, she decided she would start a charcoal selling business on the side as a way to further support her family. So she's just got a ton of gumption and motivation and a really entrepreneurial spirit. So she has been selling charcoal with a loan that she got from Jolly and Daniel and will eventually be able to pay back with her earnings. One of her children receives a sponsorship from Noonday to attend school, and Latifah sends the other child to school with her own earnings, and she's really proud of that.
Wow.
So, yeah, because she was offered a little bit of opportunity, she has really blossomed, and we're excited to get to share her story and have a beautiful necklace named after her.
I love that story. And I love that Latifah believed enough to be like, no, I'm keeping my children. I'm going to keep pushing through to find a way to support them. Because that probably had to be so incredibly hard when everyone around you is telling you that's the option.
And it's common. I mean, many people do that.
Yeah.
But she was different. She just didn't want to let them go, and she knew that if she worked hard, she could find a way to keep her family together, which is what we're all about here.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that once, you know, finding that work through Jolly and Daniel's workshop, it affirmed that decision for her, you know, and it probably really made it very real for her that she can do it. She is the one who can provide for them, and she really can make this better future for her and her family, and that she has the capability for it. The other thing I love about Latifah's story is, you know, I'm drawing parallels with our community because I'm in our community all the time, and I've seen some of our ambassadors share about how they're supporting their families and their children. And I know some of our ambassadors are parenting solo. And it's really amazing to see an artisan like Latifah thriving in that and going even a step further and believing in herself and her capabilities and starting this additional business. And then creating additional opportunities for people. And I see our ambassadors in our community that are parenting solo doing that as well. And I love that they have this story to really identify with. Because I'm personally so proud of our ambassadors that do that. It makes me really,
absolutely,
really inspired.
Yeah. And again, as an example of how this opportunity can be multiplied, Latifah doesn't just, you know, support her own family. She now has a home, and Jolly said that there's always somebody living in it. Like, she's always she's always like, come to my house if you need a place to stay, I've got you, because she's experienced what it's like to not have a roof over your head. So even though she's not a rich woman, she's taken what she's been given and is just multiplying it and giving it to others which is really cool to see.
Yeah. She's generous with what she has, not mm-hmm. just when she has it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's so neat and something we can all really learn from. Mm-hmm. One of the other really big questions that we get constantly is, how are the pieces named? And I know that you lead that. And so I'd love to hear about your process.
Yeah, that's one of the most fun parts of my job. I always feel like Elaine from Seinfeld when she has that, because I do the product descriptions also, the name day notes, and so I'm always channeling her in those moments. So it's a pretty intuitive process, and I hopefully will have some kind of answer for you, but I'm really inspired by the places where we work, so finding beautiful place names from Ethiopia or India that are also pronounceable, which can sometimes be a challenge. I mentioned that we have a few pieces named for Latifa and Lawn this mm-hmm. season. So whenever I get an amazing story in, I love to honor those artisans by naming something after them. And I know that they're really excited when they find that out, so that's really fun for me to get to do that for them.
Some of my favorite photos that Noonday gathers is that artisan like wearing their piece mm-hmm. or looking at it and just seeing the pride in it.
Yeah,
starting to choke up.
Yeah, it's awesome. Otherwise, I kind of just look at the piece and just think about the feeling I get from it immediately. This sounds kind of fluffy, but
it's a creative process though. It's
yeah
fluffy.
So I'll think like, oh, this is a really strong piece, or this is romantic or vintage, and I try to keep kind of a running list in my head of some beautiful words that kind
embody
of
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. capture those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So examples of some of those would be the rarity cuff.
Mm-hmm.
That one I love so much. I always wanted to be an archaeologist when I was growing up. So when I saw that, it just took me back to like Indiana Jones, and it feels like some kind of relic or like really special, rare piece that you would find like at an excavation site. So
that's so cool.
That's kind of where my mind went for that one.
Uh-huh.
The Mirage scarf, which is our silk scarf that we designed in collaboration with Leah Duncan. I knew that she was really inspired by the American Southwest when she was designing those, and mm-hmm. they've got those fun little Southwestern creatures and mm-hmm. motifs on it, and I thought that the silk made the patterns really shifting and
like a mirage,
and so
that's brilliant.
That's kind of where that one came from. And one more example would be the Expanse earrings. So when I looked at those, the first thing that stood out to me was that negative space
mm-hmm.
in like carved out of the middle of that metal and wood. So I was just thinking about mm-hmm. what about that negative space could I kind of harness to come up with a name for this one.
That's a great name for it.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's funny, like as you explain it, they immediately click for me and I'm like, of course it's named that.
Yeah, I mean, and because our ambassador community relies so much on those names and has to talk about them and know what they are, I try to make it something that even unconsciously you can kind of
connect
mm-hmm. and it's easy for you to remember what's what.
Yeah. Well, like you said at the beginning, it's kind of an intuitive process and you want to make sure that the name feels intuitive to the piece too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jenna, this was so impactful for me, and I can only imagine it's going to be extremely useful for ambassadors as they prepare for their shows, but also with helping them reflect on how we really are connected
mm-hmm.
and that we really are connected to the pieces and to the stories behind these pieces. And we have such an opportunity to connect our customers to it too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah. If you were at Shine, you more than likely saw me running around with a microphone and headphones for the line reveal, which I know was pretty hilarious and I just had to embrace it. I know I looked like a dork, but I loved it. But it was because I got to capture some really fun reactions you all had about the new pieces. And I got some snippets from the ambassador community. You'll hear from Wendy Hogan, Janie Page, Devin Gaddy, just to name a few. And my personal favorite, Bethany Hembry, when she found out she won Bundle 2. Take a listen. Chit-chat about the line.
Me.
What are y'all's initial reactions?
My initial reaction is...
You can't stand too close.
I know.
Okay.
Don't
but seriously, what do you guys think now that you've seen it?
I think it's
amazing.
Great. I like this overall in every category.
things.
All the things. Yeah.
All the things. That will make. What's the standout piece that you're super excited for?
175.
I don't know. That bag is pretty awesome.
Yeah. The modern leather.
Yeah. Yes. That's awesome.
And the Kenyan pieces.
Yes.
Hammered.
It's the freaking bomb.
I'm excited for the turquoise because it goes really well in Colorado.
Awesome.
Everybody loves it in Colorado.
So it's gonna be customer fave.
Oh, yeah. I already have two friends who are like, is there lots of turquoise?
I hope you're like, so. Top secret, you'll have to book a trunk show to
find out. Well, no, that was this morning. Like, we don't know until tonight.
You should tell them they have to book a trunk show to find out.
Oh, they are, yeah. They're my spring trunk show.
Awesome. Yes.
This is all stuff that makes me every single one of my trunk shows would laugh. Like,
really?
The older group, like my mother's age, and my friends. Like, it's that.
It hits both of them.
Yeah, I was like, this is crazy. I've got to find $850.
Awesome. What you think of the new line now that you've seen it?
Oh, my.
Yes, you did.
This is your first line reveal, right?
Yes, it is. It is. Yes.
Yeah, so a little overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming, but, like, good overwhelming. Like, yeah. I'm excited about this kind of overwhelm.
Yes, but the bags, like, are so much more fabulous in person than I was expecting. Like, I didn't really, that wasn't on my radar, but they are everything and more. Yeah, like, it's, yeah. Which ones are you going to buy?
I don't know the names yet. The blue, I guess, like, the new Andean.
Yeah, the blue with the white stitching.
Yes, that is gorgeous. Of course, I'm from Kentucky, so.
Oh, that's going to sell like hotcakes.
My customers will lose their minds over that blue. Yeah.
What do you think of the modern leather tote? I see you're carrying your rustic leather tote.
I know. And I sold a lot of rustic leather totes, so I think my customers will like a different, kind of
silhouette.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's more casual, I think. So I think a couple people didn't want it because it looked too dressy almost. So I think that it will be a good diaper bag, I think. I really do. Yeah. Like, I think I can sell that.
I mean, leather's pretty resistant.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Spit up. Like, I've had baby food in the bottom of my... It happens. Yeah. But
well,
no.
It's a good catch-all, too.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, but I'm excited. Everything seems more, I guess, like, everyday wearable with this line. I like the daintiness of a lot of the pieces. So,
does it feel like that elevated every day?
Yes. Yeah. Especially seeing it on our models during the show. I think it's... I'm a very visual person, and so it was nice to actually see it. I can do that. Instead of just seeing it on a page, it was nice to actually see it.
Yep. Tank top and a skirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. But there are several pieces that will be mine.
Yep. You're going for them.
Yes.
You better watch out.
Yep.
Thanks.
Bundle number two goes to Bethany Hembry.
Then at the PJ party, the excitement for the line definitely continued. I learned that Courtney Hagen has a cool tie to our new Kenya pieces. And you also probably remember that Anna set up her loom for all of us so we could see her in action. And I got to capture a really special moment between her and Corey Rush reuniting as they had met in Guatemala while Corey was visiting for an artisan trip. Hang in there with the audio. You can definitely hear music in the background because, again, it was a PJ party. But take a listen.
So, Courtney, what did you think of the Kenya piece that you saw tonight?
I was so excited about it. I really enjoyed seeing the video and actually seeing the artisans work on it. I'm going to school for art and have taken some metal smithing classes and have learned a lot of the techniques that I saw in the video tonight, and they made it look so easy, and I know that it's not that easy, so it was really inspiring to see.
Yeah. Are you planning to use that story with your customers?
Oh, for sure. I know some of the stories, but I'm not really familiar with them, so that's definitely one that is now in my brain.
Yeah, it's a front runner.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes. Awesome. I will be sharing it.
I'm so excited that you have that connection. That's even more special than just feeling a pull for a story. Like, you have a personal connection to that one now.
Yes, probably the only personal connection I have, but I'm excited to finally have one.
That's great. Thanks, Courtney.
I was trying to find a picture with Anna when I met her for the first time almost 3 years ago. I wanted to show her.
That's amazing. Do you remember meeting Corey? You remember meeting her?
I was on the first artisan, the first trip in 2013.
Oh,
so I'm trying to find a picture when we met for the first time. So let me find it to show you. And then I got to come back again in 2014, and I met your sister.
Ah, Maria.
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, I love Guatemala.
Love how those moments show how we're connected to the pieces we wear and sell and the people who make them. The excitement over the new line, it just validates and really celebrates the amazing craftsmanship and skill that goes into making those pieces. It just goes to show that we need the artisan, and where else can we find that kind of beauty and heart in what we wear? And it's also so cool to hear those personal ties too, whether it's being an artist like Courtney and understanding firsthand the work that goes into crafting the pieces, or reuniting with your friend from Guatemala like Corey and Anna. And before we end today, Jessica's going to share one more way how we're connected to artisans, and it may be something you haven't yet thought of. I really hope it resonates with you and carries you into your next trunk show. So be sure to share what you've been reflecting on today, both at your next trunk show and with the You Matter hashtag on the Facebook group. Have a great week, friends.
When we hear the word beauty, I think we either think, oh, that's superficial, or we can tend to like equate beauty with perfectionism. But really, beauty has nothing to do with superficiality or perfectionism. I really do believe that there is a universal truth to beauty, that beauty matters, and that all women want to feel beautiful, and all women are made inherently beautiful. I think about my last trip to Uganda, and one of the first things I noticed when I got to the workshop was all of the women's hair. It was significantly different than when I had visited before. There were these brightly colored weaves and beautiful braids, and it really dawned on me. I feel awesome after getting an awesome hair highlight, and why shouldn't these women in Africa feel that same sense of beauty? And they are now, because of their dignified job. And there's nothing more beautiful than the sound of Indian women's bangles clanking together as they're creating our handmade finds. You know, I really do believe that beauty does matter, and that's what we get to affirm when we go to trunk shows, when we talk to someone else about the necklace that we're wearing. We really get to look past what our culture sees as beautiful and really define what real beauty is. And I think that's a really powerful position that we've been given in our roles as ambassadors. And so think about that the next time you're at a trunk show, that what you're doing is not superficial. The necklace matters not just because it's creating a job, but also because it helps another woman feel beautiful, and that's really meaningful.